listening to the Destiny Community Church podcast.
Good morning. Hey, thank you. I like to say, hey, y'all. I'm from South Georgia. Can you tell?
I love how he said, she's an actress and he was a youth pastor. That's what he just said. We had an unbelievable experience yesterday. My goodness.
I mean, he was in the room.
Yeah.
We had such a good time. We couldn't stop talking about it and talking about this church.
Did you guys have some bubble time last night?
We had bubble time.
Some of you watching online today. We had a great time. Pastors Rocky, man, thank you so much for having us. We love you guys. I'm so thankful. Can I tell them it's pretty cool? We were born on the same day. Like, same year, same day. I think we're twins. We just got separated. You can't see it because of his cool beard, but I love you. I respect you so much, and I am so grateful for the incredible leaders that you are. We had an incredible experience with you guys this weekend, but last night, we had the opportunity to sit at a table and just fellowship, and that was food for my soul and for Shannon's soul. So thank you guys for investing in us. You have incredible leaders. You have an incredible team. You have an incredible church. So can we give Jesus praise for that? That's a beautiful thing. And as Pastor Rocky said, she is an actress. If she looks a little bit familiar, have you ever seen the movie Facing the Giants? Anybody ever seen it? Brooke Taylor in the flesh, ladies and gentlemen.
I do tell him not to do that, but he does.
I'm going
to
do it everywhere.
Every time.
I told the group this weekend, I have to say that because I was in the marching band and I married a movie star, and that doesn't normally happen. So
hey, I love my sexy marching band man.
It's an oxymoron. It cancels itself out. But I was president of the marching band. I was a John Philip Sousa Band Award winner of 1993, which is like the MVP of the band. So
I'm so proud of you.
Thank you. That's awesome. But we had a great time. And if you watched a movie about our lives, okay, the opening scene of the movie about us, and you'd play you, Bradley Cooper, or play me. But never mind. I don't want you playing opposite of Bradley Cooper now that I think about it. Yeah. So
we ain't doing that.
No. But that opening scene would take place in booth 18 of a Waffle House.
At the Waffle House.
Okay, tell them why. Okay.
So I'm going to go back just a little bit so you know just a little bit of our story and who you're listening to today. So we've been married a combined 55 years, just not to each other. You see, we lost our late spouses to terminal illnesses within 8 weeks of each other. And I was married for 30 years, and Anthony was married for 25. We were married to Jimmy. I was married to Jimmy. He was married to Marianne. And we had amazing, not perfect, but amazing marriages, healthy marriages. And I had two kids, Anthony had two kids, and we were just ticking through life. It was like really nothing bad was happening to us through our life, except one day it did. And we were faced when both of our late spouses went to live with Jesus. We were faced at a crossroads in our life, and we had a choice. We had a choice to 100% trust Jesus and 100% surrender to him. And when you walk through hard and you walk through trials, you get a choice to make. And I can tell you today, there is so much more of this story we could share. But look at us standing here today. We are miracles for one another. Yeah. That God can take all the hard, all the junk, and all the stuff that you walk through that door today with, and he alone can turn it into something absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, he's the master at taking our difficult moments of life and bringing purpose out of pain and bringing healing and hope out of hurt. And our story is different than your story, but you have a story. We all have a story. And in fact, some of you would say, you know what, that's not my story, but I'm in the fight of my life today. Let me take a quick poll. If you would say in the last few days that you've been anxious, stressed, overwhelmed, no matter what you do, you don't feel prepared, and no matter what you do, you just don't feel like it's enough. If you have felt that way in the last few weeks. Would you raise your hand? Now look around. We all got our stuff. That's what I'm saying. And if you sat across from us at a coffee shop and tell us your story, we'd love to hear it. You would share a very different story. But what we have in common is the outcome of what it is that we're experiencing. We all know what it's like to lose something. Maybe a relationship. Maybe you have lost a loved one. Maybe you've lost a job, or maybe the death of a dream. And so we're left picking up these pieces after these difficult moments of life, and we're not exactly sure what to do with it. But maybe it is so easy for us to get stuck and paralyzed by our situations, isn't
it?
Yeah, but we decided that we wanted to live on the other side of our trauma. And honestly, Shannon and I, we want to be a living example of what life looks like on the other side of your difficult moments. I remember one day somebody spoke something to me, and your words are powerful. And sometimes somebody can take just a small sentence and drop it in your heart, and it'll take root and it'll grow and to hope. And someone looked at me one day and said, "Anthony, just because life is different than what you dream, hoped, planned, or prayed, doesn't mean it can't still be absolutely amazing." So maybe you're in the middle of something and you're like, "Man, this is not what I prayed about. This is not what I thought would happen in my life." But it doesn't mean it can't be absolutely amazing. And all of a sudden, that one little phrase kind of got me. And so one day I'm sitting in my recliner.
That he doesn't have anymore.
Yeah, that went very quickly. I loved that recliner now that I think about it. It was broken in. It was good. Why did we do that? Okay. And I'm just scrolling one day on Instagram, just wasting time. And I was just really praying a very simple prayer. And this is what I pray. "Lord, if you have somebody for me, if you open the door, I'll walk through it until you close it." And all of a sudden, this beautiful blonde hair filled my screen, and I just stopped dead in my tracks. And I was like, "Who in the world is this?" As I told the crew this weekend, I felt the anointing of God flow through my life.
I don't think that's what that was.
A guy in Michigan a couple of weeks ago said, "Son, that wasn't anointing. That was your hormones." And so maybe it was. But I saw you, and I began to just click. And I thought, "Man, who is this amazing woman?" And I got to read your story and realize we had so many things in common. We both lost our late spouses within 8 weeks of each other. We both had two kids. We're both doing ministry, still trying to live on purpose. And I was so inspired by your story, I had to reach out. So you old people in the room won't know what I'm talking about, but you young people will. I slid into her DMs, y'all. And she left me on read for 3 days. I was mortified.
Actually, he deleted it is what happened.
I did.
And,
I was nervous.
It didn't delete on his side, or we wouldn't be standing here today.
Yeah.
So I'm so thankful that you did that.
Yeah.
And I can tell you, so during all of that time, I was also praying and asking the Lord. I was tired of being in that part of grief. I was like, "Lord, I'm ready to live. I'm ready to move from here to here." And I didn't know what that looked like. But I didn't care what it looked like. I just wanted to live. I just wanted to live and have some joy that in my life again. So I was asking the Lord if I could act again and speak again and do the hard things. And it's okay to do the hard things sometimes, but I just wanted to get out there. So I remember then I was like, "And Lord, I have one more question. I have one more thing to ask. If you have somebody for me, I am open, whether it's right now, whether it's 4 years from now, but I am open." And I promise you, about 2 weeks later, that's when you slid into my DMs. And we just had a friendship, and that turned into a love story. And he actually came to see me in Atlanta. And I actually I told him to stay at the Holiday Inn Express. And listen, y'all, listen. I met this man on the internet. He's a pastor.
Said he was a pastor.
I did stalk him. I didn't know if he smelled good. That was the problem.
Can't smell on the internet.
But I was about to go meet him and pick him up at about 10:30 at night.
Yeah.
And the reason it was 10:30 at night is because I had a speaking engagement on that night, that Thursday, and I already looked cute and everything. And I was like, "It's on right now." So I got in my car, I drove to the Holiday Inn Express, and I picked him up. We hugged for about 15 minutes, no lie. Because I can tell you one of the prayers that I prayed when I was walking out that door, because my late husband had ALS and he just lost the muscles in his arms. I was craving and desiring a hug. So let me just tell you today, do not take hugs for granted. If you were sitting by your spouse and your loved one today, listen, grab them and hug them.
Do it.
I'm telling you. So we hugged for about 15 minutes.
Yeah. If you're single and there's somebody single around, just hug them.
Yeah,
just
yeah. Like,
so we get out.
So if you're single, stand up. No, I'm just teasing.
Yeah.
And then we went from there.
Yeah.
To booth 18 at the Waffle House.
Because you know you're from the South when your first date is the Waffle House. You know what I'm saying? And so for us, Booth 18 was a place of new beginnings. It was a place where God did something new and fresh in our life. And so we've entitled today Booth 18 because we believe today can be your new beginning. We believe this church can be your new beginning. The seat that you're sitting in today can be a place of new beginnings, a place where you not only rediscover a hope, but you recognize that God does have a plan for your life and that there is healing and that there's life on the other side of your difficult moments. We were in a little boutique one day, kind of walking through Marietta, Georgia, where we live now, and there was this saying on this painting, and we bought it. Yeah. I'd love for you to share it if you don't mind.
Yeah, I love it. It's life is amazing, and then it's awful, and then it's amazing again, and it's breathtaking to be beautiful.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And when beautiful. You begin to look back on your moments and you see God's hand in those areas of your life, even that are difficult, you see them as beautiful. And it's really the message of Isaiah 43 and 18. And this is what the word says, but forget all of that. Because it's nothing compared to what I'm about to do. Yeah, there's some stuff. There's some stuff going on here. But you know what? Hold on, because it's nothing compared to what I'm about to do. And I love what it says. For I've already begun this. Do you not see it? And if you're a Bible note taker, I want you to pay attention to these next few phrases and maybe circle some words for me. But it says, I will make a pathway through the wilderness and I'll create rivers in the dry wasteland. Now, if you're like me, you don't like the dry wasteland and you don't like the wilderness, you want God to remove you from that. And so we pray those things. God, would you deliver us from these moments? Would you remove us from these difficult situations? And he will do that. He is a God that does. He can do that in your life. But until he does, he's going to provide you what you need in those seasons that are difficult. He will provide you a pathway through the wilderness, and he'll create rivers in the dry wasteland. I like what one pastor said, you know, when one door closes, another one opens. But oftentimes, there's a hallway between those two doors. And I love the way he said it. And sometimes it's hell in the hallway. And maybe you're in that moment where you feel like you're in between. You're praying for the miracle, but you're not experiencing the answer that you've been praying for. But what I want you to see is that God wants to heal all of your broken places, doesn't he?
He does. And one thing, you can't always change your circumstances, but you can change your response to them.
Yeah, say that again. That's powerful.
Yeah, you can't always change your circumstances, but you can change your response to them. Because God wants to heal all of our broken places, all the places that you're experiencing right now, all the places from your past, just every single one of them. Because a lot of the times we want to brush those things under the rug, and we don't really truly believe that God wants to heal us and or can heal us. Sometimes I look at my life as a mirror, and like the enemy has taken a hammer and just threw it at my life, and there's so many cracks just running through my body. And what's the difference is you can still see I have plenty of cracks, but the difference is I surrendered my life 100% to Jesus. The grip that I was holding on to, that I can fix the things, I can do it, the word I, and I had to let my hand loose and let it go. and allow the Holy Spirit to just run through my whole body and heal me. The scars are there.
Yeah.
The scars are still there. But oh, the joy that is filling my soul. It is well with my soul.
Amen.
Because
Amen.
I refuse to allow the enemy to use that hammer and keep cracking at me and cracking at me and diminishing the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
I think we forget that His Word is all powerful and all alive, and He can heal every single thing. I'm not talking about happiness. I am talking about joy that only He can give.
Yeah. Can we unpack some of that? Because
yeah.
that was powerful. I just feel the Spirit moving in these moments, and I just want to sit in it. There's a difference in happiness and joy. And I think we often use those interchangeably. You bring me happiness. You bring me joy. But honestly, while you do make me happy, baby, joy actually comes from the Holy Spirit. And happiness is a natural response to life, okay? It is an emotion. So that song, Bobby McFerrin sang, "Don't worry, be happy now," right? You can't just be happy, right? Because it's tied to your circumstance. Just like I can't tell you, don't be sad, right? Because sadness is an emotional response. God hardwired you with certain emotions, and so your situations are going to trigger certain emotions, okay? Happiness, sadness. Joy is not a natural response to life, okay? It is a supernatural work of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says when you spend time in the presence of God that we have these fruit of the Spirit, which are love, joy, right? Patience, goodness, gentleness, self-control. These are not natural responses to life. They're not default positions to our situations. They are supernatural works of the Holy Spirit. And that's why I could look at you who was walking through the fight of your life and see that you still had joy. The joy of the Lord was your strength. And you've seen it in people around you. You see people who are walking through some difficult moments, some of the same stuff other people are walking through. These people are dying, right? These people are like drowning in their situation, but this person seems to be responding different. And you would look at that person and go, why are they responding different to their situation? It's the presence of God in their life.
Amen.
And when you spend time in the presence of God, you can have joy in the fight of your life.
That's so, so good.
But also, you kept talking about these scars, right? We have these scars because of the mirrors, the healing, all those things. But talk for a second about why we often like want to hide those scars. But we don't have to hide the scars, do we?
No, and I think there's a couple of things. One time, sometimes we don't actually want to face it because the enemy wants to make you believe that if you face it and you have to face those feelings again, you're just bringing it all up for no reason. But the difference is in you allowing the Holy Spirit to heal, and you sometimes have to talk about these things, and that brings healing. It's almost as if you're a prisoner in your own self. And that God wants to heal the brokenness and the bondage that's sitting on our shoulders.
Yeah.
And I know because I've walked some of that before. I remember sitting on my couch or sitting in my living room all by myself, all alone. And I'm like, what am I supposed to do with my life? What do you want me to do? And when we are in the thick of it, whatever the it is that you have, it's hard to believe these things. And the thing is, I have the scars here. I still have them. We talk about them. We talk about and share our testimony with everyone. The enemy don't want you to share a testimony because guess what a testimony does? It frees somebody else.
Yeah.
He don't want you to free anybody else but what is God has done in your life. And He wants people in this room today to realize that we all have stuff.
Yeah.
You don't have to be embarrassed about your stuff. But you don't have to stay in the stuff. You don't. Listen, I want to give them a couple of scriptures.
Give
is that okay? So one of them is Psalm 34:18. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues. That's what I circle. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. And Psalm 147:3 is another good one. He heals the brokenhearted and bandages their wounds. Isaiah 61:1, the spirit of the sovereign Lord is upon me. For the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim that the captives will be released and prisoners will be freed. I don't know, but a prisoner is a person confined, captured, and kept confined by an enemy. A person who is or feels confined or trapped by a situation. I don't know what you feel trapped today, but today is your new, you're sitting in your booth 18. Yeah. Today is your new beginning.
Yeah.
God wants to free you. He wants to rescue you and bring you the comfort. And I promise you, you just need to just believe it. Yeah. That he can do it. And it takes about a mustard seed of faith to believe it.
That's right.
Which is so tiny.
Yeah. Right? And I love the song that we sang earlier. We'd be dancing on the chains that once held us bound. Like, I love that. Yeah. And so you truly can dance in your freedom today. The Bible says that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. I'm gonna hit the fast forward button a little bit for time. But I think one of the things, Shan, and I'd love for you to lean into this a little bit and talk about this for us today. One of the things that the enemy will use to keep us confined and keep us held back and keep us, as we say, stuck on the couch when you're going through some hard stuff is our own fear. We're paralyzed by our fear. And if we're waiting on that fear to leave before we step out and do something great for God or even just live our life or even just take our next step, we have to be willing to live life afraid, don't we?
Yeah, that's right. I've always lived my life afraid. Always. There's one time that very recently I did a TV show, mini TV show from PureFlix called Fragment. And I show this picture up here because I'm up there in a cave, a literal cave in Colorado. And Anthony had already come into my life and so much amazing things was happening. But I was going back to work for the first time in a long, long time. And I've been doing this for about 20 years. And I did not realize that when you walk through stuff and you walk through trauma, that sometimes it can rear its ugly head. I didn't know that. And I was walking on set and everybody, it was my turn. Everybody was staring at me. I've done this forever. And fear gripped me like it's never gripped me before in my life. I did not know what was happening. I forgot every single word I was supposed to say. And what happened in that moment, thank the Lord, I had an amazing director who said, you know what, we're going to flip these cameras and I'm going to give you some breathing time. And it took them so long that I was going to have to go back and do it the next day. But I had to go back the next day. And my heart was pounding. That fear did not go away. But during that time, Anthony was praying for me and praying over me. It was so amazing. This is what a covering does. And I was walking in there. My circumstance had not changed, but my response to it did. I realized in that moment that God is greater than my fear. And I was going to walk in there and do what God called me to do, regardless of how I felt. And once I took the step and took the step and took the step, God showed up pretty big. Yeah. And I heard the director say, "She's back." The whole, do not quit and don't rely on yourself because you can't fix anything. But God can. Yeah. God can go before you.
You know, I somehow picked up some wrong theology through the years, and I don't know how I did that. I don't know that anybody taught me this. But in my head, faith and fear could not coexist in the same space. So if you had big faith, then you weren't afraid. If you had a lot of fear in your life, then I would tell you you didn't have much faith, right? And I'd even give you a scripture about it. God's not giving us the spirit of fear, right? He's given us power, and he's given us love, and he's given us a sound mind. But walking through these moments of life over these last several years, I've learned very quickly, faith is not the absence of fear. Faith is the ability to trust God in the face of your fear. Courage is not the absence of fear. It's the ability to trust God in the face of fear and take your next step, no matter what it is that you're facing. Several years ago, I heard about this animal. It's called an African impala. They'll put a picture on the screen. It's a fascinating animal. I have to be careful showing this in Georgia. Everybody wants to go kill it. But that, don't kill my animal. It's a beautiful animal. And this animal is fascinating to me because here's what I learned. It can travel up to 60 miles per hour, okay? So that's pretty fast. And its back works like a shock absorber. So when it jumps and leaves its feet, it can literally jump 10 feet in the air and span the distance of 30 feet. And you'll just see them leaping through the desert together. It's beautiful to watch this happen. But I remember thinking you could never find one in a zoo because you can't hold it in captivity. It'd just jump over any enclosure. You'd have to keep it in a dome or inside. But you actually will find them in a zoo. I've seen them. And it wasn't in a big enclosure. It wasn't behind this huge wall. It was actually a wall that was about 3 feet tall. It was a cinder block wall. I was fascinated by these animals because here's what I learned. No matter how much capacity it has within it, it will not leave its feet if it does not know where it's going to land. It's not the wall that keeps it in captivity. It's the fear. And when I heard that, I thought, that's us. We have all of this potential. I mean, you have the power of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you as a follower of Jesus. The moment you say yes to Jesus, his spirit just indwells within you. He has empowered you with everything that you need to accomplish, everything he's called you to accomplish. Amen. But if you aren't willing to take that step, even if you can't always see exactly where you're going to land, you'll always be paralyzed by your fear. And if you're waiting for the fear to leave before you take that step, it's probably not going to happen, is it?
No, it doesn't actually happen.
Sometimes it gets worse.
Sometimes it does get worse. But if you know that God's called you to do these things, you just do it afraid. Just do it anyway. Because I can tell you, you're going to miss your moments if you're waiting on the fear to go away. Because it doesn't work that way. Because if you are called to it, the enemy don't want you to do it. So he's going to place fear in your life to block you from it.
Yeah.
And I had to learn that early on. And I hate the feeling when it comes. I hate to face it. But I also know if I stop and I quit, I won't get there and I won't enjoy the blessing of it. And I also am stopping a lot of things blessing other people.
Yeah. You know, if I'm just thinking now, I'm kind of forgetting that they're here. I just want to have a conversation with you. If it weren't not for us living this way, we wouldn't be standing on this stage together, would we, today? You know, because the moment I met you, it was like riding a bull. And I feel like I'm riding a bull every day. Like, it is an adventure. It truly is.
We have a great adventure.
But we get to see God do some incredible things because we're willing to live our life this way. I heard someone talk very recently at a conference that we were out. You guys can come and play something softly. They'll think we're almost done if we do that. That's a little preacher trick. But we were at this conference, and they were talking about contracts. And anytime, like, we sign a contract, especially you want to read all the fine print. You want to read every detail.
To take advantage of
them. I know. I don't read nothing. Like, I just sign it. I don't care. It's like, put your initials here.
That's
okay. You want my child? Here you go. Like, it's just a sign of it. But most of us aren't that way. We want to read all the details. And you don't want to agree to anything until you know what all of those details are and that you agree to all of those things. Then you're willing to put your little signature there. And I love what this guy asked. He said, are you willing to trust God enough that you'll take a blank sheet of paper and sign your name on it and hand it back to the Lord and say, you know what? I trust you. I don't even have to know the details. I trust you with my life, and I'm willing to let you fill in the details, but I've already signed my name. I'm saying yes now. And I got serious about that. I went home and got me a sheet of paper, and I wrote my name. I was like, God, this is yours. I give it to you. You know. And then it's been a wild ride ever since. But we've seen God do some incredible things. But it's because we've been willing to trust and what?
And surrender.
When we were, when I was stalking you, I came across a podcast that you did with Sherry Rigby called Women in My World. And she asked you a question in that podcast. And I'd love for you to answer that question again today because I love the way you answered it then. I just want you to unpack it. And this is what she asked you. Shannon, how do you define success?
It was, yes, when I did that podcast, we were filming the podcast as well, so you can see it and hear it. But it was in the thick of my grief. It was in the thick of my trauma and a fog. But I was really wanting to speak life into people the best I knew how. And her question to me was, Shannon, how do you define success? And I stopped for a second. I said, I showed up. I got up, I got dressed, and I showed up. And that's some of you today, not just for church, but life. You get up, and you get dressed, and you just show up. And then you're wondering and waiting on that breakthrough and then joy to fill your life. So I'm going to tell you how to get that. You 100% trust him. You 100% surrender. You take the Bible, God's holy word, that's life, and you read it over your life. You read it all. If you have to post so many post-it notes all over your house, you do it. And you worship. You worship. If you run out of words, worship. But you show up. And you do it the next day. And then you get up and you get dressed and you do it the next day. And you do it the next day and you show up and you show up. And one day, because you kept showing up, you're going to turn around and you're going to go, my life is so much joy and filled with so much joy. I don't even know what happened. And I can tell you what happened to us. We showed up. We did not quit. We did not allow quit to be an option, even though sometimes, guys, listen, I was on the floor crying out to God. I'm like, I don't know what to do with my life. Those are feelings that are real, and they're happening. It's part of healing, but allow yourself to heal, but do not quit. You show up. You do whatever it takes to not quit in this life. Don't quit on your marriage. Don't quit on your kids. Don't quit what God's called you to do. You got pastors sitting right here that can help you and guide you if you need it. Don't allow the enemy to say you're weak. If you do these things, that's a lie, isn't it? It's a lie, Anthony, because we wouldn't be here today. And Jesus wants to free so many people of that bondage.
We believe that salvation, healing, breakthrough, and miracles manifest when you see your obstacles as an opportunity. I go back to facing the giants, right? There's a little boy named David who saw a giant in his path that everyone else saw as an obstacle. And they were terrified and they were running the other direction. But David said, no, wait a second. This is an opportunity for God to reveal his glory. And he saw it as an opportunity for God to show up. And so today, while everybody else may look at your circumstance and say, wow, that's the obstacle of a lifetime, you can look at that obstacle and you can say, no. This is an opportunity for God to reveal his glory in our lives.
Thanks for listening to the Destiny Community Church Podcast. To learn more about DCC, including our service times and location, visit us at destinycommunitychurch.org.